Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the podcast. This is Chris Crane, and I have the pleasure of hosting in the studio today Jay Gordon. Jay is the Minister of Adults and Small Groups at the Church at Brook Hills here in Birmingham. Welcome to the podcast, Jay.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here with you.
Well, we're glad you're here, and I want to thank you, Jay, for coming and sharing with a group of leaders and ministers here in our facility. We hosted Jay, and he came and he talked about small groups, and we wanted him to share that material, some of what he discussed, with our podcast audience. So Jay, thank you for doing that. What was your takeaway from that day with us here at the BMBA?
Well, we enjoyed spending time together, and I always say to people, hey, if I come and you don't get your questions answered, then it's been a waste. And so we had some good time of just question and answer, just talking through some of the issues some of the pastors and leaders were having with small groups. And so that's always fun.
Well, I'm interested. What was one of the key concerns that pastors are having today with small groups?
Well, I think one of the lead things you always get is, where do I find leaders? And, probably my favorite answer is, we're called to make disciples, therefore make leaders. And I think sometimes we feel like the Great Commission says, go find leaders, but we need to make leaders. And right. So that's a different way of thinking of it.
Wow. Well, tell me, technically, how do you make a leader? How do you do that in a local church setting?
Well, I think one of the best things, and this is a passion of mine, and it started out, I do an interview with potential leaders at my church, and over the course of the 9 years I've been there, I've probably done 200 to 300 of those, and also doing new member interviews. I've heard a lot of people talk about coming to a strong faith in Christ in college when they were involved with a campus ministry like Crew or Campus Outreach and a number of Baptist campus ministries, when somebody pulled them aside and discipled them in a small group of two or three or four same gender people, just really making sure they were getting it. And the way I word that is taking responsibility. We disciple somebody when we take responsibility for their maturity in Christ. And believe it or not, most of us in ministry have never had somebody do that for us. I've heard some of my colleagues who have a passion for this talk about asking a group of pastors, and most pastors will not raise their hand when they ask the question, has anybody really in your life taken you under their wing and helped you grow to maturity in Christ? And I think the way I say it sometimes is, sometimes the blind mouse even finds the cheese. And a lot of us in ministry leadership, we got it, but we didn't get it by Jesus' plan A of disciple making. And so I would love to see our churches and our pastors, and it takes longer to grow a disciple in that way. You don't see immediate results, but it's good for the long term. I'd love to see a lot of our pastors really invest in discipling two or three people over the course of a year or two.
So do you think it starts with the pastor ultimately?
Yeah, I think that's the best way. It's going to be easier when the pastor wants to, invite you to spend, an hour and a half with him every week. And he would ask it like, hey, let's study the Bible and talk about what that means in our life and just live life together. A lot of people will respond to the pastor in that way. And it's just a good way. And I think the pastor sets the example. And one of the things that I like about Jesus' model is he discipled people who were in turn going to go out and disciple others. And we show people a format in how to do that when we spend some time with them on a weekly basis.
That's certainly a great model. And I'm taking this in, Jay, because I look at some of the structures that many churches have passed on through the generations and we've inherited today. So, developing leaders and forming a structure in your church for continuing that disciple-making process, what does effective small group ministry look like in the modern church today?
Yes, I will say this. My passion for small groups is to take some of the principles that we get from those very small discipleship groups, like I was talking about, the same gender, and there are three things our most all of our small groups or Sunday school groups do well. They spend time in prayer together well. They study the Bible well. And they have fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. There are two other factors that I try to place into the small groups that we have at Brook Hills. One of those is to give a specific challenge every week. And some of our leaders in all of our churches, you know, that's usually part of the material, the Lifeway curriculum, and they do that well. But I think we could do a better job in making it very specific. And one thing I like that I've pulled from the disciple-making model is to come back a week later and say, okay, last week we studied thus and such. Some of you guys tell me what you did with it and what were the results and how did you see some growth in your own life? And we always just teach a lesson, put it on the shelf, and then move on. And it's a passion of mine to bring it back and create some expectation that we don't just read the word for knowledge, we read it for life transformation, and we want it to let it change our lives. And others in the group can see that happening in others, and I think it motivates them to get on board as well.
That's great, Jay. All right, so it sounds like there's some core competencies you're trying to build into the disciples and see them live it out.
Absolutely, yeah. There are a number of those things. I've got a kind of a stage of six steps. Probably not time to go through that today, but somebody's welcome to contact me. But I like thinking of a progression of disciple making. And a lot of churches have established these, and I don't think we always see them through really well or communicate those to our people well, but a lot of our churches have spiritual growth pathways.
I think that's a great thing to know what you're aiming for in the lives of the people that God's entrusted to you. I know some pastors struggle with this, and you've already alluded to that. What scriptures would you point out to some of our pastors that would help enlighten them from God's word about the importance of disciple making?
One of my favorite is the Great Commission. It says, teaching them to obey. It doesn't just say teaching them. And so one of the pictures I gained from that, and whether you're an Alabama or Auburn football fan, I don't know, but if you picture the team just being in the training, not the training room, but the room where they have, you know, the chairs kind of like a theater style, you see that on TV reports where the coach is talking to them. That, we depend on that format, which is teaching them. And I picture the teaching them to obey is like the coach out on the field watching them, and he's going to tell the lineman, you've got to block lower, you know, push with your legs. And the receiver, he's going to say, you've got to make that cut a little bit more crisp so that you throw the man off and get open. And that's more of the coaching that I think would reflect teaching them to obey. We just teach and don't observe sometimes, and so we don't know whether they're learning to obey. And I was thinking about the analogy last week of a plant. If you're a farmer or gardener, my wife loves plants and everything she touches turns green, but she's going to plant a plant and water it and fertilize it, and then she's going to observe it to make sure it's growing. And if it's not growing, she's going to find out why and change that. And sometimes in church, we just do all the things we think we should do and don't observe to make sure the plant or the disciple is growing. And so I think observation, sometimes we get busy and overlook that. We need to make sure the plants are growing.
That's great. So, you know, trying to develop just a visual dashboard or look at your small group ministries, I think a lot of churches only have one number on that dashboard. How many people are there? Mm. Is that a pitfall, do you think, Jay? Or
yeah, and it's because it's easy to measure. And it's because the people in the pews, they rate the pastor and the staff on that number. And so it is an important number, but I think we should also look at some of the longer-term models and ask ourselves a few questions. You know, how many people are in a disciple-making relationship in our church? How many people, have had a spiritual conversation with a lost person in the last 3 months? Mm. You know, some questions like that that I think are things, and they're harder to measure, you know, but I think we need to ask ourselves some of those other questions that are going to yield the long term. And sometimes having that dashboard in front of us where we're looking at attendance, it causes us to, as ministers, to do some short-term win things that don't result in long-term wins.
That's a good thought too. And certainly we can be driven by fear that we're being perceived as not effective.
Right.
And I know a lot of pastors and other ministry leaders struggle with that. I've always been intrigued by Brook Hills. This is a wonderful church. If you're listening outside of our area, Brook Hills is a fantastic place where disciples are made, the nations are reached, and it's a fantastic church. But just specifically in Bible study and disciple making, what are some of the different formats and structures that you use at Brook Hills to help get the job done, just practically speaking?
Yes, we have on campus and off campus small groups as our primary groups. Many call those Sunday school classes. So we have about 55% of our adult groups on campus, about 45% off, and the off campus groups meet every day of the week. And we try to put put those five things I described to you earlier. I call those the five looks. I don't really have time to get into all of that, but with the things that we already do well, add challenge and add accountability, soft accountability the next week to those things. So we try to put that into all of our groups. And I'll say this, one of the things the Lord's been doing in my life in the last few years is really teaching me the importance of love and the impact that that has on people. It's one of the things I've always known, but there are some other people in my life that have really loved me well and shown me what an impact that has on me and my desire to follow Christ. And so I think it for our pastors and small group leaders, learning to really love people and go that extra mile with people, and sometimes it's a ministry need that we're meeting, sometimes it's following up with them on their, you know, accountability for spiritual growth. Some of those things really mean a lot, and so I'm trying to put those into our groups.
Well, God has entrusted to the Church at Brook Hills hundreds, if not thousands, of people, and I would imagine that atmosphere and environment that fosters Christ's love is very important with small groups. I would imagine they're a big part of your pastoral care ministry through your church. Could
Absolutely.
You talk about that a little bit, Jay?
Yes, I, man, sometimes I'm at a hospital or a funeral, and they're a person that's not plugged into a small group, and I just think, oh my goodness, well, you know, it might be different in a smaller church where the church comes together, but in a church the size of Brook Hills and even a medium-sized church, if you're not really plugged into a small group, there's so many needs that aren't going to be met in those times, and so it's just hard for me to imagine, you know, going through a crisis without a group of people who love you and are going to be there to care for you. And so that's one thing we really feel is important in Brook Hills. And, you know, there's an old stat that I've heard that 85% of your people that are in a small group in your church are still going to be with you 5 years from now.
That's great.
And 85% of the people that are in your church and not in a small group, they will not be still there 5 years from now. And so if nothing else for a pastor, that really speaks to the importance of getting people plugged in to a group of people where they can practice the one another's. You know, they're like 49, 51, depending on what translation you use, one another's right. in the Bible, you know, and love one another, pray for one another, serve one another. We've got to get our people plugged into a format where they're not sitting in pews looking forward, but sitting in a circle looking at other people and just learning to love one another and encourage one another.
Well, we're thankful to have you, Jay, in our area, and you resource our churches so well. And I know there are guys out there listening, they don't have a Jay, and they're looking for some handholds. Could you give some practical wisdom on what you just said in getting people enlisted into small groups? What are some ways that they could offer this opportunity for people to connect on a deeper level in their church?
I think what the pastor says about it is really, really important. I've heard pastors that have said something like to their congregation, Sunday morning sermon or announcements, hey, if you only have 1 hour to give us on Sunday morning, I would rather you be in a small group or Sunday school class than I would rather have you in worship listening to me, because that's where you're going to find real encouragement. And so I think that's important. I think the pastor being in a group often says a lot. And there are a lot of ways a pastor could lead a group themselves. You know, sometimes there's a pastor's class at a church or a new member's Sunday school class that a pastor could lead. And the pastor might think, well, I just don't have time to do that. One of the easy tips that I would give a pastor is use some of the same sermon content. And we always, when we're preparing to teach or preach, we learn a lot more than we're able to present in that hour. So take some of that extra content that you've already studied and just use it with a Sunday school class that you're going to teach. And also, when you're doing that, it allows people to spend more time in application. I'll give you an example. Years ago, the very first time I did a sermon-based lesson, I compare it to a football game. When one team kicks off to another and the ball goes in the end zone, they get to bring it out to the 25-yard line. Of course, now there's the fair catch rule. You can catch it, you know, yes, between the 1 and 25, right, and still do that. Well, the first night I was leading an off-campus group then, and the first time I did a sermon-based lesson, I felt like I was that football team, and I got to spot the ball on the 50-yard line and not the 25. Mm. The pastor had done a lot of the heavy lifting, a lot of the teaching, and it allowed me more time with my group to move into, okay, so what? What are we going to do with this? And we got to spend more time specifically as a group talking about our specific situations in life and, hey, here are the ways we can apply that. So that's one of the things I would encourage pastors to do, is be involved and use the resources you've already got, and maybe it won't take as much time as it would otherwise.
I love that idea. Sermon-based small groups have taken off and certainly have been around for a long time, but recently, I think, especially with lack of resources, some churches have found this to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. We could take sermon-based small groups and use that as something that our church is already invested in with our right. pastor and distributing that. So I'm grateful. I had a question, too, that I feel like some of our pastors would want to ask, is how do you keep your leaders and your leaders of leaders motivated and maybe informed or sharp? So are there some ways that you do that, or you would recommend us keeping our leaders educated and up to date on what's going on in small group ministry?
Sure. One thing I think, meeting with them regularly. We have a couple of big meetings a year where we pretty much tell our leaders, adult leaders, it's we expect you to be there, and one in the spring, one in the fall. And I would encourage pastors to meet with your small group leaders, even if you're not necessarily doing training. You might bring a few questions that you have and say, hey, leaders, how can we assimilate people better? Let's share some ideas. Let's make some plans. Let's put that into
practice. That's a great idea.
You might say, hey, let's share ideas with one another about maybe some teaching tips. And so there are ways to lead a meeting that you can allow your leaders to share the wisdom that they have with one another, and you don't have to be the delivery mechanism. One thing we created at Brook Hills that I'm glad to share with anybody else, we did this, a podcast, and we call it the Great Groups Podcast, and we didn't design it for ministry leaders in churches. We designed it for actual small group or Sunday school leaders. And so we say it's for small group leaders at Brook Hills and beyond. So if you want to tune into that, any podcast listening app you might use, just search Great Groups, and we would be glad for you to listen. I also be glad for you to share that with your leaders, because it is targeted, again, to the small group leader and not necessarily to a ministry leader like many of the podcasts out there for small groups.
Well, Jay, it has been a pleasure to have you with us today on the podcast, and we thank you for all you do, not only for Brook Hills, but for the whole region and beyond. And we want our listeners to know that if you want to get in touch with Jay to get resources or just to connect with a question you may have, we'll have some information in the show notes if you'd like to send some kind of email. But Jay, it's been an honor to have you today.
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.